Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with reading Mark chapter 4, part of Mark 4, and then we'll move on from there. I think we won't have much trouble finishing up on time, so maybe not. Anyway, the parable of the sower in Mark 4. And something interesting that I'll let you look this up later and be homework if you want to do it. Jesus, why do you think Jesus spoke in parables? Was it to make things clearer so people could understand them? Yeah, Bob. Yeah, absolutely. It was actually to hide the truth from the haughty and the self-righteous. You know? And he had to explain it to his disciples. I don't know if that caused you to struggle or not, but now, Jesus was a good illustrative teacher, but many of the things he spoke in parables revealed to his disciples, but it was a form of I guess you could say that was a form of judgment, of hiding the truth from the, let's say, less than humble, the arrogant. So anyway, again, but in Mark 4, he's teaching on the parable of the sower, and he does explain this one and then sort of makes an application, which is where we're going to focus. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea and on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. In his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." So just casting seed into the field. And then in the good place, where the prepared place, they would turn the soil over. But some of it would fall on the paths, some of it would fall in the thorns and other places. So he's using that as an illustration to teach a truth. Some sowed among the path, the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. Immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched since it had no root. It withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And then this is a common saying of Jesus, "And he who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when they were alone and around him, the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables." Here's what I was talking about. "So that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in and put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except what will be made manifest, and nothing, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And this is kind of where we're focusing in right here this morning. And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has or what he thinks he has will be taken away." Look at the top of your sheet there. Again, it's a repetition. I'll let you read the first one. I've just read it. NLT, I quote it every once in a while when it gets things right. It says, pay close attention. Or you could say, pay diligent attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. So that's our responsibility. Jesus is saying, take care how you hear in other places. Pay careful attention to how you hear. Be diligent hearers. And I think we, in our day and age, we've sort of lost that for a number of reasons. One of which is worship is viewed as entertainment. Right? The other is that we just have stuff coming at us from so many different directions, it makes it hard to be a diligent hearer. We have to tune some stuff out to tune in on some things. You'll pass those back to me. And the important thing we need to hear is the Word accurately taught. We've taught on worship, so let me just ask you, on Sunday morning, what is worship? Yeah, get a megaphone and shout that. What's the common misconception on Sunday morning as to what is worship?
Singing.
Yeah. It's just limited to the singing. That's the part that is worship. But everything we do, the reason I have a call to worship and a benediction is God through His Word calling us into worship and then blessing us having worshiped Him as we go away. Everything between those two things is worship. The reading of Scripture, praying of Scripture, singing of Scripture, especially, it sounds self-serving because I'm a preacher, but this is the Word of God. There's a primacy to preaching in worship. Because in worship, as the Word of God is accurately explained to you, Jesus is ministering the truth to your soul. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, takes that truth and does His work, either converting or growing in grace. But everything we do is worship on a Sunday morning, and the pinnacle of that worship is the Word preached and received. So, I have a responsibility, and whoever preaches to you has a responsibility every week to pray and to study and to dig to be sure we're preaching to you the truth of God. And none of us will ever preach a perfect sermon in our whole lives. We're not glorified. We'll get closer and farther away from that. We'll lay an egg sometimes, but hopefully even when we lay an egg, there'll be truth in there for your soul. Right? So, to the extent that the Word is accurately preached, and whatever of the Word is accurately preached, Christ is ministering to your soul. So let me ask you a question. If I could tell you this, next Sunday, Jesus is going to walk through that door, and He's going to stand right here, and He's going to preach to you Matthew chapter 5. How might that color your excitement and anticipation? It would, wouldn't it? It wouldn't mind. Because I want to be sitting right here. Right here. Right here. You know? Because I know everything He says is going to be straight up truth, right? But what He says to you is you have it better. Because the Holy Spirit takes the Word and does the work. So coming in with that anticipation, coming in with that preparation, and being diligent hearers is what He asks of us. When He says, pay attention to what you hear. Now, you know, as Bereans, part of your paying attention then is to understand what is taught and then go home and compare it to the Word. Because if anything is taught that's not in accord with the Word, that's not to take root in your soul. And the Bereans were commended over all others because they did that. They took the Word seriously. Right? And they examined it according to Scriptures. They received it with joy. So they paid care. They weren't judging it while they were hearing it. They weren't saying things like, well, I wouldn't say that, or I wouldn't teach it like that, or I wish you'd have said. They were just receiving the truth that was taught. But then they went home and they thought, okay, God, did that match with your Word? So a lot of different things get in the way of our hearing. And I just wanted to address a few of them. And just because I recently came upon, I posted a blog post on listening to a sermon I thought was really good. Dr. Piper has taught us through seminary, and there's preached sermons that he preaches on how to listen to a sermon. And I just don't think it's highlighted very much that you have a responsibility to listen in the power of the Spirit. And to not just have it flow over you, but go away with truth that you can hold on to that, and that will change you. So this that highlights for the fact for you that you shouldn't listen to 46 different people. Because you won't get anything out of that. Right? It's okay to listen to different people and listen to different sermons, but just know that you're responsible for everything you hear. And be it weak or be it not as good, your primary place to listen is on Sunday morning when wherever church you end up attending in your life is standing up before you preaching the Word. Because that's where you've gathered in corporate worship. That's where Jesus is primarily working through the Word to change your soul. Now, I'm not saying don't listen to people like John Piper and others who preach. They're great preachers. But just pay close attention to what you hear. Listen diligently. So I want to give you a few suggestions on how you might be able to do what Jesus says here. Pay attention to what you hear. And notice the responsibility. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Or the more understanding you'll be given, the closer you listen, you'll receive even more and more. So how do we listen to a sermon well? Number one, prepare ahead of time. Do you start preparing on Monday for Sunday's sermon? Praying for yourself, praying for me, praying for the church, praying that the Word will go forth in the power of the Spirit and people will be converted and people will be grown in grace. You know, every week, Sunday is the pinnacle of the week. And see, we need to be adjusting ourselves if that's not the way our heart is tuned. And so we prepare. We read the text ahead of time. Most of you get help if we're going through books because you know where we're going. Like if I preached Esther chapter 4 last time, I'm going to throw you a curve this week. But in general, I would be preaching Esther chapter 5 this week. All right? But we're doing Lord's Supper, so I chose a different text. And hopefully it'll be profitable for you. But read ahead of time. Think about the text. Think, well, I wonder how he's going to explain that. I really don't understand this. And if you don't get those answers when it's preached, then you come and say, well, I was hoping you would address this. What about this? Because the goal is to learn. The goal is to learn. So be reading the text ahead of time, praying for your pastor as he preaches, whoever that might be throughout your life, and pray for yourself. Oh God, tune my heart. Prepare my heart. Make my heart the good soil. Because notice, there was only one good soil. The rest of them were unfruitful. Work in my heart to be the good soil, to receive your word and it bear fruit. Now, here, look at C. Get plenty of sleep. And get the clothes, and the reason I had an ellipsis there, the shoes for the kids, for yourself, the food, whatever you need to prepare. Prepare ahead of time for Sunday morning. If you're getting up and scrambling to get everything ready on Sunday morning, you're going to come in here, even if you get here on time, your brain is not ready. And sometimes you're going to have to fight anyway, because I know the war of raising children and, you know, and having husbands and wives and all that kind of stuff. So, and then last on prepare ahead of time is come expectantly to hear from Jesus. I remember the elder I used to say, the elder I worked with for 14 years used to say, did you worship God before you came to worship God? And what he meant by that was, did you prepare your heart to actually enter into the presence of God and receive truth and from Jesus and be changed? Because that's part of diligent hearing. It's preparing ahead of time through reading, through prayer, through preparation, and through coming expectantly. What makes us come expectantly? G word. God, gospel, grace. Right? Grace sets us free. We have forgiveness. Before you come into worship, God, cleanse me of my sin. I trust you for that. Fill me with your Spirit. I trust you for that. Prepare me to hear your word fruitfully. Because his disciples bear fruit. But we don't bear fruit apart from effort. Now, if you're lost and you come in and you hear the gospel, you know, you're passive, you receive Christ. But if you're a Christian, you know, sanctification, there is work going on. It's not meritorious work. You're not saved on the basis or loved on the basis of your work. But you, just like learning the Bible, you actually have to open it and read it. It's not going to USB port into your head. I've been looking for that port, but I can't find it.
Bluetooth.
Yeah, okay. Y'all pass me by then. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that would be great. Blue ear. Word just goes in. But come expectantly to hear. And let me just tell you ahead of time, There's spiritual warfare going on. The evil one will get in your business. And on the way to church, you will have a fight with your kids or a fight with your wife. And you'll come in smiling and be dead inside. Pray ahead of time against that. And don't be surprised. When you're on the way to church and you hear, "Mine! Mine! Ah!" You know.
Stop looking at my
Tell your wife to stop doing it. No. Your husband? No. Any questions on preparing ahead of time? Makes sense. Does it make sense? That's part of diligent listening. Well, I mean, think about this. Even in school. I mean, Andrew, do you prepare for class ahead of time? You better, huh? You better. I had a professor, Dr. Piper again, in seminary. If he got a whiff that you didn't do the preparation work, he wasn't mean. You'd just get question after question after question until you said, "I'm sorry, Dr. Piper. I confess I didn't read it. I'm sorry." And he wouldn't make a fool out of you anymore. He wouldn't even say anything else about it, but you got the point. You know? Preparation ahead of time is vital to you growing in grace.
One of the things that Jeff and I do that I think is probably a good practice in every home is Saturday night through Sunday afternoon, we don't bring up things that are likely to cause conflict. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, why didn't you tune up my car or whatever? You know, whatever the beef is.
Her car doesn't need tuning right now.
But you know, we try to avoid conflict
or distraction.
Or distraction, so that, you know, because he's my husband, he's my pastor, but he's also my brother, and I don't want to hinder my brother's worship. So, you know, I don't want to bring up things that are going to create that. And the enemy is looking for those little strongholds, little places where he can kind of get in there and just irritate you, so that you're distracted and he's distracted and. And you can't fully engage in worship now because you fussed at your husband in the car on the way to church. And now you're going to smile and pretend like everything's at the door, and now we're going to worship. And
yeah. Well, and it's, yeah.
I think that's a helpful thing. I mean, it's something that he and I practice simply because, you know, he's a pastor and I want to protect that. But I think it's a good habit for every home.
Yeah, and to the extent that you can.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, God doesn't always bless that because, you know, the Sunday before I preached my first sermon ever, my mother had a stroke.
7 o'clock that morning.
That 7 o'clock that morning, and I had to preach and then go to Georgia. Mm-hmm. So God doesn't always work things out that way, but as a goal, try to think that way. Yeah, George.
I'd like to piggyback off what Cindy just said. I'm about to say a lot of stuff. Stand by. Okay, a couple weeks ago, we didn't come to church because we were like smoked. We were just super tired. Like everybody in the house, we were just like running for like 3 weeks straight doing stuff, like all over the place. And we were just smoked. And I was thinking about the effects of that and how, you know, in the beginning, God did everything and on the seventh day, he rested. And then, we have now taken Sunday and made that like a rest day, which I don't believe that that's what it's supposed to be. I think that Sunday, like you said, is the pinnacle of the day. It's the pinnacle of the week. It's a work day. I think we're still supposed to rest on Saturday. But the rest is not like I'm not doing anything. It's like y'all are saying, you rest from things that are, you do things that keep you in the right mindset and not work, like you do things that are relaxing, whatever, to prepare you for the next day, which is Sunday.
Yeah.
What we've implemented in our house is that on Saturdays we rest. We don't talk about work. We don't do any of that stuff. You know, we do things. We go out as a family. It's not like we don't do anything, but we endeavor to make that day where we can relax, like prepare ourselves for Sunday and prepare ourselves for the rest of the week. And we found that has been. That we just implemented a few weeks ago, but it's been a joy. It's been better for us to enable us to do things instead of just, you know, because I think that the mentality that Sunday is a rest day, then all at the same time going to church, those are contradictory, because dealing with Caleb in the morning, ain't no rest. But if you say, hey, you know what, Saturday we're going to go to the park, we're going to do this and that, and they understand that this is the, well, Saturday we're not going to look at any properties, we're not going to do this, we're going to be spending time with the family, rest, and it has been able to just give us more energy, more ability. So I agree with exactly what you said.
Yeah, you're right. And so that's part of preparation. Sunday, even the Old Testament Sabbath was this day of rest and holy convocation when you gathered for worship. So Sunday, we rest in Christ and we worship Him and we do, however you do that. But what you've seen is what God has worked in their hearts to prepare ahead of time. Your preparation may not look like theirs, but that's preparation for Sunday. Now, let me say this. What day is Sunday? Okay, if you screwed up all last week, start this one fresh and new. What's the highest thing you need if you're worn out? And what do you need more than anything else on Sunday?
Worship.
Yes. Trust God to bless the means of grace. I promise you, there've been a lot. Well, I can't skip church. I won't tell you there are never days when I think it might feel better to lay in the bed, but. You know, what I've learned over the years is if I will take myself into community, even when I don't feel like it, especially when I don't feel like it, I'm denying myself and serving Jesus coming in. If I do that, I never go away regretting it. I may go away and get here tired and leave tired, but what I know is God's at work in me, making me like Jesus. Good morning, sir. Okay, so let's listen to the second part. Look at number two. We got to move. Two is realize your responsibility. So you prepare ahead of time and then you realize your responsibility to diligently listen and digest the word preached. I mean, that is Mark 4:24. Now, I'm going to stop. I hope y'all don't get mad at me. Look at A. Or if you do, you'll get over it. But it's not the pastor's responsibility to keep you awake. If you go to sleep, it's your fault. It's not mine. You can't blame that on me. Or whoever's preaching or teaching the word to you. It is not my responsibility to hold your attention. It's your responsibility to hold your attention on the word of God. If you stay up till 2 o'clock on Saturday night and you come in here sleeping, that's not my fault. And it dishonors Christ. And I don't think we'd do it if He was standing here. But it dishonors Christ for you to sleep during worship. Now, some people have narcolepsy or whatever. There are extenuating circumstances that sometimes you can't help. But most of it is not that. Most of it is either lack of preparation, staying up late at night, you know, not seeing the importance and diligently focusing in. I'd much rather see you in the middle of a worship service go... I tell you, I was in a worship service one time and I felt so sorry for the guy. He started snoring. I mean cutting it down. And the pastor just stopped. Everybody in the place heard this dude snoring until he got the rib shot. From his wife.
Which brings me to a good point. People notice, okay? You're not just sitting there and nobody notices.
Yeah.
You're being a distraction to everyone around you when you're sleeping because people see that and it's very much a distraction.
But, what's the number one problem with it, though?
It doesn't honor the Lord.
It doesn't glorify God. It doesn't honor Jesus. You're sleeping instead of listening to Jesus through the Word. Bob?
It's kind of interesting to hear someone talk about all the farmers in the congregation. Outside all day long, they come in and sit down and they all sit. It's an interesting but yet contradictory
it is.
Example of what you should do.
Sleep when you get home. You know? Now, I'm not saying don't come to church if you're sleepy. I'm saying address that however you need to address it. If you need a rubber band around your wrist or a tack that you can stick yourself with, if you need to sit on a tack, I don't know. But it's not the preacher's fault. If you go to sleep. See, because we have this entertainment mindset, we think you have to be exciting to keep me awake. And if I go to sleep, it's your fault. And I'm telling you before Jesus, if you go to sleep, it's your fault. And I love you enough to say that.
How much of this congregation
Wake up, pooper.
Do we have more sheets? Some of our people don't have sheets. Yeah. You got it? So if you fall asleep, it's your fault. Now move on. We got to move. See, this is holy school. It's not entertainment. I'm not going to have juggling monkeys and stuff up here because you gain them that way, you got to keep them that way. Pure and simple preaching of the Word of God. And it requires your diligent effort to glorify God and to profit from the truth. So, stay awake, however you have to do that. B, take notes for later review. And I know you say, well, I'm not a note taker. Well, okay, but you don't have to write everything down I say. But if I say something that particularly strikes you, write it. If I say something you don't understand, write it. Right? Questions? Things like that. So just, if you try to write, you know this from being in school, if you try to write down everything, you miss everything. Pretty much. Just learn to take just bullet point notes and just little notes. But everything you write down, you remember more. I've told you this before. If you take notes and throw them away when you walk out the door, you will remember more of the sermon. So my suggestion is take notes. If you have a better way to remember more, I trust that to you. But take notes. Notice what I said, not just for taking notes' sake, but for a later review.
Please forgive me. I use Facebook. Like when I'm doing this, if you say something I like, I highlight it real quick and I put that back on Facebook like right away.
You put what?
I use Facebook. Like if you say, like whenever we're going
through. You tweeting while I'm preaching?
That's what I was saying. Like, you say something, I'll holler at that boy real quick, like, share. Because it helps you remember. I get back to it. I mean, it does.
Well, that's a form of taking notes, I guess. Here's the problem with me with Facebook. I go to Facebook for one purpose and I end up on another purpose. So be careful about that.
I just share from the Bible.
Oh, okay.
So I host the website.
Oh, okay. I got you. Now listen. I got to move. See, your hearing of the sermon is a vital part of your worship on Sunday. Focus and listen diligently, and then listen prayerfully. I don't know how many of us do you do this as the word is being preached. Are you praying? Lord, fill him with your Spirit. Help him to preach your truth and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to understand. Lord, what did you mean by that? You know, just a constant conversation with Jesus as the Word's being preached. That will help you. Listen prayerfully and receive it as the Word of God. That high level that it deserves. Okay, and then thirdly, I'm going to just move through since you have this on your sheet. Review the notes. Examine the sermon in light of Scripture. Listen again to the recording if you can. Discuss the sermon with somebody. Right? The more of these things you do, the more you'll remember. Pray for God to write the truth of the sermon on your heart. After you go away and go home. Remember, this is the first day of the week. So this ideally will be what you're chewing on the rest of the week until you hear another sermon. So we have a responsibility to pay close attention to what we hear, to do these things, and there are more things you could put on this sheet. I just have a few here. But the scary thing is I'm responsible for everything I hear. Every bit of truth I'm responsible for. You can't say, you know, you didn't know because you've heard. I mean, that's a biblical statement. So you will profit to the degree that you are diligent. That's what Mark 4:24 is teaching us. And listen to me. And you will be diligent to the degree that Jesus and His Word is your treasure. Because another description of a believer is a disciple. That's a learner from the Master. And what makes Jesus and the Word your treasure is the Gospel. God's grace, not legalism. But you will profit to the degree that you're diligent, and you will be diligent to the degree that the Word is your treasure. Jesus calls us to be diligent hearers, and He does not bless lazy hearing. So whatever you have to do when the Word is being preached, tune out everything else and focus in and diligently hear. Go home, review, praying into What is going on? That's what Christ holds us responsible. I've already said this. I had it on my notes. I'm responsible to work hard, to pray, to preach, to study, to organize, to be able to preach the word to you in a way that it's rightly understood. And then you're responsible to be diligent hearers in preparation and active listening and review. Here's another thing I'll say. If you go away and say, I didn't get anything out of the sermon, whose fault is that?
Yours.
The individual. I was saying...
That's awesome.
It's all your fault, Jeff.
It's all your fault.
I was about to start over.
You got 5 minutes. Go.
If you didn't get... Lord have mercy.
You've written the answer with a laser show.
If you go away not getting anything out of the sermon, it's your fault. Evidently, Paul was not very impressive in person. No better teacher. But you're listening for truth, not entertainment. Be careful if all you remember is the illustration. Because that's what piques our ears, right? I can still remember a sermon Sonny Blackwood preached on marriage. You know, only thing I remember about it? Is the illustration. He said there are three rings to marriage. You ever heard that? The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring.
That's all I remember too. See, now that's all y'all gonna remember.
You're the monkey.
It's easy. But it takes work to remember the truth and how it was taught or preached and what the applications of that truth are. That's why I'm saying notes, review, preparation, prayer. Listen diligently. If you're asleep, sleepy, slap yourself. I won't care. Right? But review this sheet and see what you can put into practice and see if you don't learn more. View worship. Do not view worship as entertainment. The culture is all about an emotional experience. And if you don't provide an emotional experience, the culture says you didn't worship. And what they mean by that is an emotional high. And every worship service is not going to be an emotional high. Everything about traipsing around on those dirt roads following Jesus around Palestine was not an emotional high. But there wasn't a better place to be. So value the Word as the Word. Value worship as an offering of yourself to God. And then entrusting that He's going to change you through that. And hear the Word with diligence. Everything we do is worship, especially the preaching of the Word. And this is uncomfortable, but it's truth. I'm not just saying this because of me, and I'm the one doing the preaching. Wherever you go to church in the rest of your life, put these things into practice because it honors Jesus. And it's through this that He will sanctify and grow you in grace. You won't learn from what you don't pay attention to. You won't learn from what you're not diligently paying attention to and seeking to understand and apply. And I'm trying to help you do that. Let me end this way. This is how most of the culture listens to sermons. If you want to turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 30. It's very interesting. I've always been fascinated by this passage and that God would say this. All right, I think I've got the wrong chapter. Okay, it's 33. Ezekiel 33:30. I do that to myself sometimes. Now listen to this and see if this doesn't resonate. As to what happens these days. Paul. God speaking to Ezekiel says this. Look at this. As for you, son of man, your people talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses. And they say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, now look at this. This is how we view preaching and worship if we're not careful. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. And then when the destruction comes, he was talking about, they will know that a prophet has been among them. So what's wrong with that? That is going into the preached word for entertainment. But not to understand it and to do it. And our responsibility is to work hard to understand it and to do it. That's what Mark 4:24 tells us that Jesus blesses. And that's how we grow. A lot of effort on your part goes into you growing in grace. God doesn't love you because you do effort. But He's working in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. He's working into you to focus on obeying Jesus and trusting that is the best path, and that's the path down which He's going to bless you and grow you in grace. Thoughts, comments, questions?
Yes.
Yes, Mike.
Is this a part of the new believers class? This is probably one of the most important lessons on what church is.
It could be.
A new believer.
It should be, probably. I mean, I'll probably you probably heard a precursor to a sermon I'll preach from this text someday.
But as a new believer, you know, they walk into a church, they don't know what to do. They see everybody doing churchy stuff, and they don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is really critical.
Absolutely. Anything else?
That's important because I remember as a kid, my parents would look for a church based off of how well they worship music, and then the pastor was like the last thing. And so you take that in as growing, you're like, well, that music was just not, it didn't get me involved. But it's not about that. The number one thing is, are you hearing the word? For the word, being told truth, even if it hurts, are you walking away convicted or, you know, growing in grace?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's important, too, that we teach our kids. Right. Because we like to have the kids in church with us. So it's important to instruct them, okay, this is what's about to happen. We're about to hear the word of God. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that you're excited about that, then they're going to be excited about that. And, you know, most of the time.
Okay? Short attention span.
Yeah. I mean, they're children, so expectations are where they should be age appropriately. But, you know, I think it's just really important to teach our children what this is that we're doing.
Yeah.
This, you know.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely. And teach them
of
sacrificing for Jesus. Teach them that this is not playtime. We're so afraid our kids are going to be bored. It's okay.
Just to caveat what she's saying, like, we can do everything we can. I mean, it's our duty as parents, you know, teach them how to listen, how to pay attention, how to sit, stuff like that. But God is not any weaker working in them than He is an adult. And
no way.
Every with our comprehension,
no
and
way.
Understanding, it is completely by the grace of God that any of us receive the truth.
Absolutely. I try to speak to the kids in every sermon. I don't always succeed in that. But I've found notes and pictures and things in the church that demonstrate they hear and understand more than you think they do. And that's one of the reasons we want our kids in worship with us. But they have to be able to train to be able to do that. So that's not romper room. Be training them to worship if you're in there. Okay? So that they can come in here and, you know, be able to blend in. We're not worried about occasional child noise, but just, you know, you understand. We're training them to grow up and be a worshiper of God. Let's pray. Father, help us. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You that we can never earn or merit Your grace, that we are freely forgiven, freely filled with Your Spirit, freely made Your children, and yet as Your children, we do have responsibility for our growth in grace. That the Spirit empowers us to love You by obeying You and glorifying You and making You preeminent, Lord Jesus. So work it in our hearts to treat Your Word that way. To prepare for preaching and teaching, to be diligent listeners during, and then review to understand and apply. Don't let us just have it fly over our heads or fly through our heads and treat it as though it's no meaningful thing. Because your word is the most meaningful thing. So love us that way and help us to love you that way. And help us to love and serve you and love and serve one another. And help us to be saved, converted, Lord, under the preaching of your word, and sanctified, grown in grace under the preaching of your word. Lord, may it be an act of worship on our part. We give you the praise for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.